844-1977. Or you can order on our website, alternativeradio.org. The Kronos Quartet performs our theme music. Joe Ritchie is our general manager and editor. I'm David Barsamyan. Thank you for listening.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, and the time is 9:59. Coming up at 10, Air Cascadia's off today. We'll hear flashpoints with guest host Kevin Pina. Reporter Franz Jerome discusses Haiti's parliamentary elections. Professor Lawrence Ware breaks down the backlash that Bernie Sanders' presidential campaign has received from the Black Lives Matter movement. And activist Harvey Wasserman gives an update on the effort to prevent the license renewal of the Diablo Canyon nuclear reactors. At 11 at Stage and Studio, guest host Sarika Mehta speaks with Chitra Viraraghavan about The Americans, her debut novel that brings up questions of race, ethnicity, and point of origin, and explores the puzzles of identity, place, and human connection. And at 11:30 on Art Focus, Joseph Galavan speaks with Yael Amir of New Space Center for Photography, and Matthew Cohen of Oregon Historical Society to discuss unearthed hand-colored slides of early 20th century Portland gardens from the Oregon Historical Society.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Red Umbrella film series hosted by the Clinton Street Theater. This month, the film My Own Private Idaho will be shown Sunday, August 30th at 7 p.m. Directed by Gus Van Sant, My Own Private Idaho adapts Shakespeare's Henry IV story to friends and hustlers living on the streets of Portland. Again, that's My Own Private Idaho at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Today on Flashpoints, we discuss Haiti's long-awaited parliamentary elections, which just wrapped up yesterday amid accusations of voter suppression. Next, we'll talk with an organizer of the boycott against Driscoll Berries in response to the terrible working conditions in the fields of Baja California. Then we'll take a look at the controversy surrounding Bernie Sanders with the backlash he's received from the Black Lives Matter movement. Finally, we return with Harvey Wasserman and an update on efforts to close the last nuclear reactors in California at Diablo Canyon. I'm Kevin Pina, filling in for Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints, your daily investigative news magazine. Stay tuned. Haiti has held its first election under President Michel Martelly, who took office in May 2011 after then-Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and the Organization of American States intervened in the process. Martelly has since labored under a cloud of mounting corruption scandals and is governed by decree since Parliament dissolved in January. We're now being told by Haitian officials in the international community that documented irregularities and violence were too insignificant to affect the outcome of Sunday's parliamentary elections in Haiti. This impression runs contrary to the view of many Haitians who were unable to vote or stayed away from the polls as news of ransacked polling stations, closed polling stations, and violence spread throughout the country within the first few hours of the voting. Before we go to our guest to discuss Haiti, let's go ahead and listen to this clip to set the context, provided by Euronews.
There have been angry scenes in Haiti as the country goes to the polls for legislative elections that have been repeatedly delayed since 2011. Police and UN peacekeepers have been posted at key flashpoints in the capital, Port-au-Prince. There have been several deaths during campaigning, which got underway in July. 6 million people are eligible to vote. They're choosing two-thirds of the Senate and the Chamber of Deputies. The runoff will be held in October, on the same day as Haiti's presidential election. The National Parliament was dissolved in January over its failure to hold an election, leaving Haiti without a functioning government. Observers are watching closely. The election is seen by many as a crucial test of stability for the impoverished nation.
And now joining us via telephone in Florida is Franz Jerome. Franz, welcome back to Flashpoints.
I'm happy to be with you again.
Well, Franz, so tell me what you thought about what happened in the parliamentary elections yesterday in Haiti.
Well, first of all, I don't think that this could pass as an election. We should not call it an election, even though that's what was scheduled. Now, I say that when voters take a lot of risk to go to the polls, and in Haiti, they list your name outside of the poll station, and you have to find your name there, and then you go into the building to vote. Now, people were finding their vote, their name outside, but when once they went in, their name was nowhere to be found, and therefore they couldn't vote. So there were many, many different ways that they reduced the participation of the people. That was the more blatant one. And the reason why I underlined that one first is because they call them all irregularities. However, that type of irregularity would have to do with well-orchestrated plan to discount people, to stop people from participating. When the institution that's supposed to stage an election has a list on the outside of the polling station that doesn't agree with the list that inside of the polling station, I would say that it is not low turnout, it is deliberate reduction of the voting population.
Well, let me remind our listeners, you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio, and that's the voice of Franz Jerome. We're discussing what occurred yesterday during the parliamentary elections in Haiti. Well, Franz, I mean, yes, the registration was a problem. People could not vote because their names weren't on the rosters. There was also violence. There were ransacked polling stations. And then, of course, it was the atmosphere of fear that was being projected over the airwaves in all of Haiti as this occurred. But despite all of this, the head of the Haitian Election Council, Pierre-Louis Aupont, says that all of the irregularities, all of the violence, all of the ransacked polls, none of this touched more than 5%, less than 5% of the total electorate. What's your response to that?
Well, he did not quite say all of the irregularities. He called them irregularities so that that's the sanitized version of how to explain the voter fraud or other instances. However, he said that the 54%, the 54 stations that were closed by heavily armed gunmen, gangs, he called that 3.5% election interference. So the other stuff cannot be evaluated because when, for example, in Nagunal, the night before people go to vote and the polls open at 6 o'clock in the morning, when the night before, the whole night, people cannot sleep because of gunfire, I don't think that that would help raise the participation level, especially when there's a police station there that did nothing to try to alleviate the situation, the fear of the people. So that he could not have put a percentage on. So I have to point out that indeed they are trying to discount the irregularities and their impact on the elections. However, the atmosphere was ridiculous. And when on the radio station you announced that two blocks down the street, a poll station was overrun by gang members, I don't believe people are going to leave their home to go two blocks further away to vote. I think that people are being encouraged to stay home by the publicity that's being done by this announcement.
So we're clear, what you're saying is although the so-called irregularities and acts of violence and thugs coming up and coming into polling stations and ransacking them only affected a small number of polling stations, once that was advertised over the media and once the Haitian media got a hold of it, it adversely affected the climate and created a climate of fear in which people did not want to risk going out to vote.
And this incident started, you remember, before that we were talking about the situation in Cité Soleil. That was 2 weeks before the elections. And the day before the elections in Boukankaré, Yuri Latorche's gang went to Boukankaré and really intimidated a lot of people, beat people up. And those same gangs were back on election day.
Yuri Latorre is associated with the current president, Michel Martelly, and his PHTK party?
Yes, he's an advisor. He's not a PHTK, but it's one of the government parties.
Now, one of the reports that we were receiving consistently yesterday seemed to be, and give me your impression of this, was that it was the president's party and those parties that were affiliated with the current president, Michel Martelly, most notably the PHTK and the Bouclier party, who were behind a lot of the violence at the poll stations. Is that correct?
Yes. And in Chiguave, it was Préval's party, former president Préval's party.
Oh, really? The Vérité party?
These were the three culprits. These were the three notable culprits. In Boukankaré, that means in Artibonite, it was Artibonite in Action, Yuri Latorre, advisor to the president. And in Jérémy, it was Guy Philippe, former assaillant, according to the Haitians. That he's the one who commanded the supposedly troops that invaded the
Haitians. Right. Guy Philippe is actually wanted on a sealed drug indictment in the United States currently, and he was the leader of the paramilitary forces that came across from the Dominican Republic in order to overthrow Aristide in 2004.
Yes, and also we have to realize that all of these people we're talking about are heading a system that I have qualified before in previous interviews as a mafia-like structure, very well organized mafia that runs things in different parts of Haiti. Timo Leon in Petit Guave, we spoke extensively about Petit Guave. Guy Philippe in Jérémy, Yuri Latorre in Latibonite, the Lambert brothers in the southeast in Jacmel, etc., etc.
So you're sort of describing these as the capos of Michel Martelly.
Yes, they are all part of the one or same or the two mafias that exist in Haiti. People say that there are two mafias, but, you know, I don't really care because they get along so well together that they may as well be one mafia.
And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio, and that's the voice of our guest, Fran Jerome. We're discussing yesterday's parliamentary elections in Haiti. Well, you know, these were historic, Franz, in that Lavalas, Famille Lavalas, which is considered one of the most popular parties in the history of Haiti, had not been allowed to participate in the democratic arena since the elections of 2000. And, of course, this was largely seen as a contest, again, between them and the right-wing party of the current president, Michel Martelly, the PHTK. What do you think Lavalas's reactions are going to be to how these elections unfolded yesterday?
Well, I know definitely in the south, in Kai, Exus would have easily won if they didn't interfere with the voting in the poor quarters of the city, of the department. I know in Port-au-Prince they would have had tremendous results because the people did come out to vote. Remember I told you that I believe the people will come out to vote, except that will they be left, will they have the opportunity to vote? Now, the vote was suppressed many different ways. That's why I underline the first instance where at the poll they had orchestrated a system of purging the vote. But also those violent incidents created a situation where people couldn't vote normally. So it's not a normal election. In the north, there were people who died in the north. And we're only mentioning the north in the last instance. Because it wasn't the most traumatic instance, but it was a gruesome instance where people died. In Grand Rivière du Nord, people didn't get to vote at all. Since 6 o'clock in the morning, the polling stations were closed. and declared closed by one of the candidates, the PSTK candidate. So it is not a situation where the people, where enough supporters of Lavalas didn't come out. They did come out. However, they did not have an opportunity to vote. And as illustrated by the demonstration that took place in Bourdon, where the people were demonstrating because they were demanding the opportunity to vote.
But Bourdon's a neighborhood in Port-au-Prince.
Yes, yes. And one of the popular neighborhoods in building the middle class as well. You know, the polling stations that service
City Soleil.
City Soleil and some part of Delma, where the populous activists vote, because anybody who in Haiti is going to exercise his or her right to vote, and they know that, because these poor people, their only hope is that there be a government that's going to provide opportunities for them, real opportunities, not opportunities exclusively for the rich.
Well, finally, Franz, as you know, have several Haitian collaborators who work with me who are journalists on the ground, and they sent me several photographs, which I thought were very telling. There was an estimated $38 million spent on these elections, most of it coming from the international community, so-called international community, primarily the U.S. and Canada. And yet I was receiving images yesterday of Haitians who were being forced to vote squatting on the floor, literally. Six bricks laying on the floor with a cardboard divider, having to squat down in the dark to vote. It just seemed utterly disrespectful and certainly did not seem to reflect $38 million being invested in these elections.
Definitely not. So, but we have a situation where